Hello, everybody. Welcome to MVP Tech Talk, Career, Coding, and Cookies. I am Sean Carney, and with me is fellow MVP Colin Smith. This show is designed to share best practices on career, soft skills, IT topics, and development solutions, including open source software,
Sean.
Oh, I'm sorry, Colin. I should have studied. Technologies within our community.
So, well, we're here at Channel 9 Studios as part of the MVP Summit, and we were asked to share some of our thoughts on how to grow your career in IT or in other realms. So we put together a little deck for you. I'm going to advance to it. I don't know if we need that. But what we decided to do was create a top 10 list, kind of like a David Letterman top 10 list.
Should we get a little drum roll for that?
However, since we did, well, sure, go ahead, drum roll, Sean. But however,
now the top 10 career tips.
However, since this is PowerPoint, our top 10 list actually goes from 1 to 10, not 10 to 1.
Well, that's not very good at the top 10.
Okay, but let's share with the boys and girls, Sean. Here's
useful
our list.
Tips, user careers.
All right, so we made it a little easier on ourselves. You'll understand that we each submitted 5 items for the list. Sean's items are in purple, mine are in blue, because we get easily confused.
And we didn't study.
So,
I didn't.
Shall we jump right into it?
That's the way to do it. Dive
in. All right. So, Sean, there you go. What do you think? That's your first item.
I should actually read the lines on here?
You can do that if you like.
First tip is don't live out somebody else's dream. Seek and live your own. It sounds like a very strange thing to say. But I was actually working at a couple of companies in the past. And what I found out is I loved trying to sit there and work hard to make the job better. I loved working for my boss and loved doing it. But the problem was, I found I was doing what he wanted, only what he wanted to do. Like, it was like my one company, and I worked there for 8 years. It was the two of us starting a company, and really, I wanted to get going for the first couple of years. And eventually, I realized I was only letting out his dream. He wanted to be the company, big company. It's like, I just like working IT. And when it comes to that, it's like, if you find you're getting bored in the job because you're doing something what somebody else is living as a dream there, don't sit there and put yourself in a corner. Don't sit there and say, you know what? Oh, I always want to try working for this job, but no, I don't want to raise bridges.
What's your advice to someone who's realizing after watching this, Sean, that they're actually not living their dream, they're living someone else's?
Well, don't be afraid to step out of the box. I mean, like, it's time for you to move on. Every job has an ending, and you may not actually anger the person you're working with, because if you stay out in that job too long, and you're working far too long at the same thing, you're going to get more unhappy, you're going to get angrier, and you're going to actually start snapping at your best friend.
Well, that's interesting, John. You know, some of the best managers I've had have actually found me other jobs. I was a little bit confused at first, but then I realized they were actually...
Are you trying to kick me out?
Yeah, but they were actually looking out for my best interests, and actually that's how I got my job at Microsoft. My manager helped me find the job at Microsoft. He thought I was hitting a bit of a glass ceiling where I was, and years later, I ended up working for him again at Systel.
So, deja vu.
It is, all over
again. Day.
All right, so what's next on your list, Sean?
Well, I'm going to point out this one because, I'm going to be honest. Before I worked in IT, do you know where I worked at for 14 years?
Burger King, I knew that.
Burger King, McDonald's. I mean, I had all the crap jobs. And I thought I'm never going to break in the field, but you know what? I always liked working technology. And my daughter is trying to break into baking and do things like that. And I've told her, you know what? Just because your first job isn't the job you want doesn't mean you can't do what you want. So I'm working at Burger King. I'm cleaning up floors. But you know what? What do you do after the job? I was working on BBSs. I'm finding computers at the side of the road, helping fix neighbors. Because you know what? It was fun. I just found delight in that.
BBSs for the young ones are bulletin board systems.
That's before the internet, boys and girls.
So it's interesting, Sean. I'm sensing a theme. You've got a theme of dreams.
I'm a dreamer. You got it.
That's right. All right. So again, have a hobby that, or do something else that is your passion.
Yeah.
And live your dream outside of your work if that's what it takes at first.
Now, the cool part I ran into is all that stuff I did as a hobby, that really paid off when I got into IT, because suddenly I didn't realize this. I've been doing this for 14 years as a hobby. It was 14 years of actual real experience. I might have walked in, this is actually quite easy for me.
All right, good to know. And here's your third one, Sean.
Well, I'm going to throw this one up there for only one big reason. So for years, I was afraid to talk to the guys at Microsoft. Everyone who knows me now says, what? No. But I thought, oh my, they know everything. I don't dare speak up and say anything because I'm going to appear to be wrong. You know what's the cool thing I found out? Is when you're willing to step up and say something, you're probably not 100% wrong, and you'll be quite surprised just how wrong everyone else is at the same time that you're, well, that sounds like the wrong way to say it. See, I was already wrong.
Well, there you go. But don't be afraid to say it. So the next one's mine. And I thought it was a good place to inject it. It's remember what's most important to you and others. Try to understand their perspective.
I
mean is not everyone has the same priorities or the same objectives. And so just because somebody says something that isn't necessarily right for you, it may be right for them in their context. And what I mean might be in the financial context. So we work in IT. A lot of times we know the best technical solution, or we're able to figure out the best technical solution. However, the person that we're working for may have another priority, and that priority may not be the best technical solution. It may be the fastest to implement. It may be the cheapest to implement. Or they may be selling the company in 2 years and you don't know that, and he's got a totally different agenda. So you've got to, you know, like you said in point number three, don't be afraid to speak up and don't be afraid to be wrong or be right, but understand that while you may be right, you may not be right for everyone, meaning that other people have other priorities and other objectives, and you've got to take that into account.
Yeah, I actually had that with a client once. We had a doctor where I walked in and his computer was totally dying, and the right answer was to completely replace the machine and update the software and bring everything up to code. But guess what? He was winding on operations in 6 months, so he required a Band-Aid solution, and what I thought was the best solution for him was not necessarily his best solution. So yeah, you're right. Listen to the customer, listen to even your coworkers, and you get a better perspective on things when you listen instead of standing up and say how it must be.
Well, sometimes it's not just listening, but it's really trying, it's understanding that they have a totally different context and perspective that you have to take time to understand.
Oh yeah.
You might hear what they're saying, but not fully appreciate it. So the next one is yours again.
Oh yes, if you're not happy in your current job, you won't perform well there. It sounds like a strange thing to say, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, but what's going to happen if you're in the job and you're doing the work and you're just miserable each and every day? Because, okay, let's just say you're bored.
Okay, so that's more like a fact rather than advice.
It
may
be a fact.
How do you turn that into something actionable by the listeners?
Well, I guess it falls back to the same thought I had earlier on there. It's like, don't be afraid to actually stand up and say, you know what? This is time for me to move on. I mean, if you don't put yourself in that box, accept that some people are going to be bored. Some people are going to sit there and say, you know what? I'm not happy, but at least I'm making food on the table. That's okay. But don't box yourself in.
Okay.
Be ready to step out and say, you know what? It's time for me to move on there. You can look for a job even while you're working.
That's true. So we've hit our first five.
Our first five.
Probably time to take a break since we did this off the cuff. And we probably should have introduced ourselves a little bit more. Told the viewers, I keep saying listeners because I have a podcast, I'm used to talking to listeners.
Well, they're listening too.
They're listening too. I hope they're listening. So Sean is a PowerShell MVP. He works with me at Systel Technology in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. But he's worked at some Fortune 15 companies, and we have clients that are very large customers. And Sean is a senior solution architect.
And make things happen.
And so we work on the same team together. I manage the team of Microsoft consultants, and I'm a enterprise client management MVP.
That's a heck of a title.
It is. It changes all the time. Had to think for a moment because they've renamed it on us. So are we ready to move on to the next five?
I think we're ready to move on.
All right. So I think the next one's mine.
Ooh. What color we got, boys and girls?
Oh, it's purple. Oh, purple. All right. It's Sean's again.
Okay, this sounds like an obvious one, but I've had a couple of jobs where basically it's like, I'm saying, never burn a bridge, no matter how much than the thought. I've had some jobs, like we're talking, when I mentioned I worked at Burger King in the past, that were really, really rotten, to the point that you just wanted to walk. And one thing I discovered over the years is that no matter how mean my boss was, if I left with proper notice, left in good terms, I could always go back. Every single time, I've got companies I've walked back 2 years later, I said, you know what, I got to go back to Burger King for a little bit, or I go to go back to this company. I said, well, remember when you left this, it was good. So if you give that proper notice, it's actually kind of nice. Like, someday I may leave Systel. No, I'm not going to, but when that happens, I want to know that, you know what, when I'm done with where I'm at, I like this company. I'd actually like to be able to sit there and be in good terms with my coworkers and my boss. And in fact, because of the way I left my last job properly, I gave them 2 weeks notice, proper notice, my coworkers at McKesson are still willing to call up and say, hey, Sean, can you give me a hand with this?
That's admirable. Okay.
Yeah. And it actually helps out your company too, because if your next company is actually looking for work, if you happen to work for a big Fortune 15 corporation, that might be a lead for your current company.
That's true. Definitely true. All right. I think that's a really good lead in to some of the things I'm going to talk about.
Ah.
So, and that's be a good listener, ask questions, verify what other people want.
Yeah, that's important.
Oftentimes in IT, we don't listen well. We jump ahead to solutions. We like to solve things. And when we hear a bit of information or jumping to a conclusion, it's not always necessarily accurate. So one of the things I do, I do that a lot with the folks at Systel, is I try to make sure we have a good understanding of the outcome that the client wants.
Yeah, I've caught you doing that there, where the client says, I want to deploy this and do it this way. And it's like, well, what are you trying to have as your end goal? And then you start listening into it, well, we want to do this, this, and this. Oh, well, actually, the better way to do it is this, which is actually a more correct solution.
Yeah, example, just the other day, we had a customer who came to us and they wanted a VDI solution. I want to buy a VDI, basically.
Sure, everyone's I got one off the shelf for you. You want to buy
sure,
a Kmart?
But once we took the time to understand the outcome they really wanted, the end goal they really wanted, VDI wasn't necessarily the best solution for them. What they really wanted was to be able to manage multiple desktops for developers, and it didn't have to be VDI as a solution.
Hmm.
So, I'm gonna move on. Oh, another one for me.
Ooh-hoo.
Read anything by Dale Carnegie.
Dale Carnegie.
Yeah, he's written a lot of books. He wrote mostly the 50s and 60s, I believe. But they're all about communicating with people.
And, not with animals.
He may have written one about that, but you know, like he's not a dog whisperer or horse whisperer,
okay,
as far as I know. But for the most part, we have to work with people. And when we work with people, we get things done better when we can communicate well. And
true,
there's stereotypes for a reason. Folks that work in IT aren't always the best communicators and aren't always the most social.
No.
But you know, I'm not sure how valid the stereotype is now. But the more you can do to engage with other people, especially people in a different part of the business than you, people that are not necessarily in IT, maybe in marketing and finance or a line of business and sales, communicating with them will help you with almost all of the things I'm talking about. It'll help you to be a better listener. It'll help you to not burn bridges, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
All the things we're talking about.
And actually, you're more importantly, as I've learned from you, is that when you communicate with people and actually listening to what they're saying with all those points, so what the CEO is saying is like, okay, and don't think the IT answer, just listen to what he's saying. Maybe you'll understand it.
Or ask more questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Even just,
and that's the other thing. Don't be afraid to ask those questions either.
The why is, or how do you do that now? Why is that important to you? Those are a lot of times. The why is that important to you goes a long way because that really gets them to think about it and give you the info that you really need.
Yeah, and then sometimes the customer answers the own question themselves. But actually, you know what? You're right. That's not the way that I wanted.
So we've regressed. So we've jumped from 8 back to 7. So maybe this is a reversing list, like David Letterman.
And now for number 9.
Number 9. Oh, this one's me again. So focus on the outcome. So you heard me say this earlier. Focus on the outcome, not the process or the task. The what is more important than the how. In IT, we like to roll up our sleeves and do things. We like the tasks.
Yeah.
We like pushing buttons. We like spinning disks.
And launching PowerShell scripts.
Launching PowerShell scripts, plugging cables together. That's fun for us. And for a lot of people, you just get paid to show up and plug things in or push buttons. And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But really, your job is not to push buttons and plug things in. Your job is to create a specific outcome, whether
true,
that's allowing email to flow. And even allowing email to flow, that's only part of a subcomponent of another outcome, which is the make money for the business or whatever,
yes,
whatever the target is. So try to focus on the outcome, not the actual process or the task. Because if we can understand the outcome, we may be able to get there faster, more efficiently.
That's true.
And then focus on other things. Okay, so again, look at the what, not the how. And now, number 10.
Number 10!
Do we know what this one is?
I don't know, I can't read it yet.
Is
it's invisible.
Any guess as to what color it is? I haven't been keeping track.
I'm going to guess puce.
Puce, or paisley. Oh, share your knowledge.
No, I don't like sharing my knowledge because that means other people know what I know.
Right, well, that's true. So we've all heard before, knowledge is power, right?
And I like power.
And so when we get power, we get knowledge, we don't necessarily want to share it. So let me tell you my perspective on it. Heard of a guy named Christopher Columbus?
Somebody sailed a boat a long time ago.
A long
right?
time ago, yeah. To North America or the Caribbean from Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we know about him? Why do we know his name? And we don't know the names of the Vikings and the other people that came to the New World? Because he went back and he shared his knowledge. He gave people maps, et cetera, et cetera. The way I look at it is you can you can hike out into the woods, you know, 50, 80 miles, find a nice little stream and build a little cabin there and live in isolation and seclusion, and that's fine.
Restful area.
You've got knowledge of that place. Or you can go there, find the great place, come back, bring a bunch of settlers, build a town that becomes a city, have the town and city named after you, be the mayor of the town. You've shared your knowledge, but by sharing with other people, you've helped them grow and you've grown. And your influence and your ability to make the world a better place has changed as well. So that's one thing that MVPs are really good at, is sharing knowledge.
Yes.
That's why we're here. We're sharing our knowledge.
I actually found this quite nice, Phil, that you mentioned sharing your knowledge there. I actually remember working at McKesson and finding weird answers on the Hyper-V, things crashing. I just put on the blog site, figuring like, maybe that next guy that's had that really stressful day might look at that and have a slightly easier day. Would you know that years later, I ran into one of those guys. It was actually a consultant at McKesson.
You got to watch out when you're driving.
Oh, well, I shouldn't be running into people anymore.
Yes.
But I actually encountered a gentleman. That sounds safer.
That
actually used knowledge that I posted on the website, and it's actually, I found out that it not only did it make his day a little bit better, made it a lot better. He was fighting problems that really he was just banging his head against the desk.
Well, Sean, you've been recognized many, many times for your contributions to community. You're now an honorary scripting guy.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
things
a
like
cool
that.
Thing to
so,
do.
You know, sharing your knowledge doesn't diminish your knowledge at all. It actually gives you a bigger network and pool of people that the more they use it, now your knowledge is being able to create a bigger difference because you're amplifying your reach.
Yeah, and it's not just that. The thing I found it was more interesting is when you share those pieces that you've learned, sometimes you find people say, okay, that was cool. I found if I took your answer, went this way, they send you back what they discovered. And it's both your knowledge. It just multiplies. And then
sure.
two friends, and so on.
Exponential growth.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about, by sharing your knowledge, you actually grow your knowledge. So it's good karma.
Knowledge is power still.
So that's number 10. That's the end of our list.
Already?
Anything else we want to, any other wisdom you want to impart to our listeners and viewers?
Don't sing PowerShell songs off key, just like I say.
So what key should they be in?
I think J. That sounds like a good key.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Keep your stick on the ice.
Later days.